And Abraham was not justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar. He was justified by faith. He went up there knowing that he had to do this for the Lord. Now, see, Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees, okay? And they led him to Canaan, where he was going to start the nation of Israel. And it was through Israel that God would bring the Savior of the world. And it says in verse 15, or in chapter 15 of Genesis, it says, "At night, God showed his servant the stars and gave him a promise. So shall thou seed descendants be." How did Abraham respond? He believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. You see Abraham's conversion at that point. Abraham's checkbook was empty at that point. Abraham's accounting with God was empty at that point. God and God alone put righteousness in Abraham's account. Abraham did not work for righteousness. He received it as a gift of God. He was declared righteous by faith. He was justified by faith, as you'll find in Romans chapter 4. If you read that sometime, write that down. Read it later. It maps out Abraham's conversion experience too. James used another event in Abraham's life, and this event took place so many years ago, other than Abraham's conversion. And it was a difficult point in Abraham's life. He had been given a son. He and Sarah were given a son, and God told him to take his son up on the mountaintop and build an altar and offer Isaac as a sacrifice to God. And it's evident in his life that faith was alive and well, because not only did he do it, he did it obedient. Now, you can see in the emotion of his faith. That's why I like to look at these stories in movie, because you can see the emotion that comes over. Sometimes when we offer a sacrifice, we give our best, and sometimes our best is very hard to let go of. When I create things and I go, this is the best I've ever made, one of the hardest things for me to do is to sell it or get rid of it or give it to somebody else. You know, maybe I'll make another one and I'll keep this one, because that's the kind of person I am. We are me people. God brings us salvation. Faith in God brings us salvation, and obedience demonstrates that our faith is genuine through our living. Faith was working in his works. Faith was perfected in what Abraham did. Abraham's deed was preeminently an act of faith. It was his faith that prompted his obedience. His faith was spurring him on to do good works, as we say. Those works prove the integrity of faith. Is there maturing a relationship that comes between faith and works? It doesn't happen immediately, but there's this relationship that matures and goes on. The end result is faith that works. And it matures our faith, and then it works even better. A tree is supposed to produce fruit. And when it does, the reason for the very tree's existence is proven. I remember in Tucson, my wife and I, our very first house, we decided we wanted to plant a Lipson lemon tree in our backyard. We planted a tree. 2 years later, no lemons. I got a lemon of a tree. I was going to dig it up, throw it away. Somebody said, "No, you need to be patient. It'll develop fruit." The next year, we had a tree full of lemons. Listen. Faith produces works, which are the outflow of our faith. And so it's the maturing of our faith. Works is also the exercising of our faith. And it's a result of perfecting your faith. We are a faithful people. Verse 23 summarizes the salvation event for Abraham. It says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, as he was called the friend of God." Now, in the offering of Isaac, Scripture was fulfilled. The Scripture there is quoted from Genesis 15. It refers to the imputation, or the ascribing to, I should say, of righteousness of Abraham for more than 25 years before offering Isaac. You remember all the other Abraham stories that we've heard? You know, Abraham and the slave and the the illegitimate child, and all those stories had happened already. This is now God saying to Abraham, I've given you the son you want, and the son I promised you, and now I want you to give him to me. And it's abundantly clear that Abraham was a righteous man. And you see, when he left the village, everybody knows what Abraham was doing. He was carrying wood. He was taking his son. He was going up on the mountain to do what? To worship. To offer God a sacrifice. Sarah said, did he take a lamb with him? Motherly instinct, right? Did he take a lamb? No, I don't think so. She knew what was going on. And you see in verse 23, Abraham is noted as being a friend of God. This title comes from 2 Chronicles and Isaiah chapter 41, and it means that as a result of faithful obedience, this statement of faith, real living, God life, we become friends. As an operative, as a fruit-bearing faith, with saving faith, man is not justified by an intellectual assent to truth. The obedience of Abraham. And then secondly, we look at Rahab. Rahab, we have the experience of Rahab. In verse 25, it says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the baby without the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. This section turns the example of good works from the life of Rahab. Now, it's especially powerful because Rahab was not a heroic person. In the same way, she wasn't like Abraham, but in the same way, Rahab, actually, she was a harlot. But she was justified by the works when she received the messengers and she sent them out the other way. She acted in faith. James uses these two people differently to contrast each other. To say, you know, they're so different, but yet their faith makes them heroes. Abraham was a man of noble character and high position and one of the most distinguished men of his time. Rahab, on the other hand, was a woman. She was a foreigner, a prostitute. However, her lesson teaches us the same thing that Abraham's lesson teaches us in his experience. The story of Rahab she's a resident of Jericho. And she's found in the second chapter of Joshua. And if you read that story, you'll see that believing that the Israelites were commissioned by God and destined to succeed in the undertaking of her land, she received into her house two spies. They were sent out to view the land of Canaan. And when the king of Jericho sought to apprehend them, Rahab actually hid them and then later helped them escape. She put her life in danger. And that's how she demonstrated her purpose with God for Israel. Now, this is not the same as Abraham. It's not big like that. But at great risk to herself, she followed Christ in faith. If she had been detected by the authorities of the city, certainly she would have been put to death quickly. As a result of her actions, her and her family were saved when the city was destroyed. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, makes it clear that because of Rahab's faith in Israel, that God protected and aided them and aided his representatives. And Rahab is mentioned as well as Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 when he starts to list the heroes of the faith. She's in there too. She exercised real faith. In her mind, she knew the truth. Her heart was stirred by the truth. And her will acted out on the truth. She proved her faith by real works. Verse 26 sums it up. It says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. The relationship between faith and works is like the relationship between the body and the spirit. Without the spirit, the body is dead. And without works, faith is dead. Such a body or existence brings no glory to God and yields no fruit to the man who directs it. You must be directed by God to produce fruit. If you try to direct your own life, you're not going to produce fruit. It's not going to happen. You'll have fake fruit, false fruit, rotten fruit, dead fruit. Because nothing comes without abiding in Christ. The combination of faith and works generates this synergism. Big word. I looked it up. It was so big. And so what synergism means, if you look at the dictionary, you'll find that the synergism is a combined thing. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. Now that sounds familiar. Example, table salt. Two elements in table salt. Sodium chloride. Sodium by itself is a deadly poison. Chlorine by itself is a deadly poison. Put them together, what do you have? Steak. Marinated. Salted. It preserves meat. It has a purpose. But it only happens when two things work together. By itself, neither of them work to produce anything except death. So faith that stands alone is deadly. It's not only poisonous, it's necessary for us to have faith and works and work them together. When that happens, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. It must have this cyclic thing going on. It goes around and around and around, and you have faith and you have works, and then you have more faith and you have more works, and it all works together. If you try to do faith by itself, it won't fly. And if you try to do works by itself, it won't fly either. All it is poison to your life. Faith alone is deadly. Works alone is equally as deadly. Put our faith in the wrong thing. Deadly. You may not think so, but try to change a light bulb standing on that guy. I'd stand on that one. Those two things together yield a spiritual life. And a spiritual life is what we're looking at. God, my dad last night was talking about a spiritual man and how his life is surrendered to Christ. Christ is sitting on the throne of his life, and he has yielded himself to Christ in that circle. You remember that picture? And in that circle, you have the self yielding to Christ. And in that situation, your life can have order. Your life can have purpose. It can produce fruit. It also produces integrity. Your faith will be fully proved in the things you do. Work has a complementary relationship in Abraham's life with Abraham's faith. The fact that he took his son up and laid him on the altar and was going to plunge a knife into the chest of his son says his faith was perfected. And because he cooperated his works and his faith, God stepped in and said, Abraham. So Abraham's family was saved by Abraham's faith and his works. Each step of obedience in Abraham's life strengthened him. Each step of obedience in your life and in my life will strengthen us, and we'll become stronger. We'll become more focused. We'll become more spiritual. And when you become more spiritual, the things you do affect the people around you in a positive way. It's so important for a professing Christian to examine his own heart and examine his own life to see that he possesses a true saving faith in Jesus Christ. So how real is your faith? How real is your faith? Look at your deeds. If you are not serving others and loving your neighbor and not doing those things, then your faith is lacking. And you're not working together as God designed you to be. Now, I know I sound a little bit preachy, but let me tell you, that's my job. Psalm 139, chapter 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thought, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me into the everlasting way." You have to give up the hurt in your life to be healed and to have faith and to serve through faith. Search me, O God. Know my heart. I have anxious thoughts. Am I offensive in any way? Have I done something in any way? And then lead me into the everlasting. Listen, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is real. And if you're surrendering your life to God, you will see that this conviction take place in your life. And you will have this kind of Texas two-step about your faith. I think. I don't dance. I don't know. Move one step forward and two step back, because you're going to look at yourself and say, you know, I need to fix that. Then you can make a course correction. And that's the reason we come to this part of our services every week, because this is the time for you to chart a new course, to start a new direction. Maybe you're headed in the right direction, but you have some doubts, right? You're heading up this hill and you think, man, my engine ain't going to make it. My engine's kind of chugging. Maybe you need to relax and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't try to take it on yourself. Do you believe that God owns everything? He's created everything? If you believe that, raise your hand. If you don't believe that, let me tell you something. He did. He knows every hair that I've lost in my life. He's in control of how many I have left and how many I'm going to get. He's in control of all that. Not an ounce of worry will add that number to my head. So if we recognize that it all belongs to Him, that He's in control of everything, then we need to absolutely surrender ourselves to let Him control it. We can only do that through faith. And that faith in Him will produce those works. Then when you get that perfected, He's going to give you more to do. Because that's the way growth happens. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to study your word. We thank you for this time. We ask that as we sing this closing song, Father, that you would help us remember our commitment to you and refresh our commitment to you. Father, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we end the service, as we do every week, we're going to stand and sing together. And I know that we're sometimes we feel like we're in the days when people don't come forward anymore. And that's, you know what? I'm not going to judge you whether you do or not, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I promise, I commit, I covenant with you that if you have something you need to make a decision, you write it on the card, you drop it in that box back there, and I'll pick it up first thing in the morning, and I'll pray for you. And if you need counsel, I'll talk with you. I'll look it up. I'll look it up in Scripture with you. I don't know everything. I don't even know a little bit compared to what God knows. But I'll tell you, I can help you find the answers. And that's what this time is about. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Pray for what's going on in your life. Surrender it to the Lord. That's what this time is all about. Let's stand together as we close this song.